how one turkey farm in LaGrange County is a little different from other turkey farms across the state, and how one seed company can provide some variations in your crop mix for next year. I'm CJ Miller with your Thursday edition of the Hoosier Ag Today podcast for November 10th, 2022. It's brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for over 135 years. Visit them online at ffbt.com to find out more. Well, since Thanksgiving is just a few weeks away, you may be thinking about that turkey for your holiday dinner. You'll hear from Greg Gunthorpe, owner of Gunthorpe Farms in LaGrange County, as he talks about the many different things that make his turkey farm unique compared to other turkey farms across Indiana. Andy Eubank has a report on Benson Hill Seeds and their soybean options that you may want to consider for next year's growing season. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin has your Indiana farm forecast, and Tom Fritz with the EFG Group in Chicago reviews the grain markets following the release of the USDA's World Ag Supply and Demand Estimates report from Wednesday. That's all coming your way next on your Thursday Hoosier Ag Today podcast.
The land of the free is also the home of the hardworking. What if this is the year you take your farm operation to the next level? At First Farmers Bank and Trust, we're proud to serve the people who not only work until the sun goes down, but until the job is done. With over 135 years of commitment to agriculture, we'll find the solution that's right for your operation today and tomorrow. Visit ffbt.com to learn more. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
What makes one turkey farm in northern Indiana so unique, and the benefits of growing non-GMO soybeans? I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today, reminding you that long days and long nights take a toll on your body and mind. Take care of yourself during this harvest season. Visit extension.purdue.edu/farmstress for tips. Well, with Thanksgiving just around the corner, it's time now to start thinking about getting that turkey for your holiday meal. One such Indiana farm that produces whole turkeys for your table is Gunthorpe Farms in LaGrange County.
Turkey season is definitely a crazy time of year for us.
And that's Greg Gunthorpe, owner of Gunthorpe Farms. They raise as many as 14,000 turkeys on their 275-acre pasture farm in northeastern Indiana. Greg says they've been raising and selling whole turkeys now for about 15 years.
We got started raising turkeys at the request of one of our customers in Indianapolis, Gusta Market. We were selling them some pork and some chicken and some duck at the time, and we thought, oh yeah, we'll try raising turkeys for you.
Greg's turkey farm is unique for several different reasons.
Raised on pasture is unique. You know, most turkeys aren't raised outside nowadays. We're a small independent operation. That's unique because the turkey industry, just like a lot of other agriculture, is consolidated. That we have our own USDA-inspected processing plant right on the farm is extremely unique.
Another unique feature of Gunthorpe Farms is that they raise both poultry and red meat. Greg says livestock diversification has its challenges, but also it has its advantages.
It requires more management. It requires some different equipment for some of the different species, where if we were doing the same dollars or pounds of just one species, it could be easier to train the help. You could have less equipment. But the diversification also creates some opportunities and some advantages. If we have an issue or if the market is down in one, we've got another enterprise that might pull its weight.
Greg says he's thankful that his family farm business of selling whole turkeys has grown rapidly in such a short period of time.
You know, if each of our turkeys averages 10 people. We've had Thanksgiving dinners where there's 70,000 plus people eating a Gunthorpe Farms turkey. I would have never thought 15 years ago that our little farm would be doing something like that.
You can hear my full podcast interview with Greg Gunthorpe of Gunthorpe Farms in LaGrange, Indiana at Hoosier Ag Today. Farmequipment.com.
Come and see the future at the Indiana Farm Equipment and Technology Expo, December 13 through 15, Grand Park Event Center, Westfield, Indiana. See the equipment and inputs you will need in 2023 and the technology you will farm with in 2033. Free admission, free parking, free seminars, and on December 14, free breakfast. The Indiana Farm Equipment and Technology Expo, December 13 through 15, Grand Park Event Center, Westfield. Details at IndianaFarmExpo.com.
Well, if you're considering some variations in your crop mix next year, Andy Eubank checks in with one suggestion.
As harvest winds down for 2022, it's being called an excellent crop year for some farmers who grew non-GMO soybeans. Jeff Johnson, president of Benson Hill Seeds, says Indiana specifically showed very good returns.
We're excited because we not only saw good yields, so the quantity of production, but the quality of the production, that output of specialty traits like ultra high protein levels in the soybeans or high lake oil, those qualities were at target or better in Indiana.
Benson Hill is now offering 2023 contracting opportunities here in Indiana. Johnson says their program name says it all: plant for profit, harvest the future.
They can make more ROI per acre, so economically it makes sense. And I think they feel good about what they're doing because they see the consumer benefit of what they're producing and the environmental impact of how they're doing it.
Benson Hill is contracting three different technologies, including ultra-high protein and high oleic, low linolenic non-GMO soybeans.
Typically, when we crush soybeans, we get both oil and meal out. And we have varieties in Indiana that have both specialty meal and specialty oil in the same plant.
And what is in that contract?
Provides the farmer a premium over what they would get on the Chicago Board of Trade for the specialty production, for keeping that separate and identity preserved and growing that product out. But then there's several premiums that give growers opportunities. For example, we have coming next week on the 15th, if they commit before then, we have extra discounts per bushel. It's actually premiums they would get per bushel of production for committing. So there's some really short-term opportunities for Indiana growers with that. We also reward them for the number of acres they're growing and how they control that product.
Get more details at their website and in the Full Hat interview with Johnson at our website, HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Andy Eubank.
And I'm CJ Miller. Hoosier Ag Today, timely, relevant, credible.
The High Ground Podcast. Everything from energy and fuel.
And it's always like clean oil because most of my stuff leaks.
So, yes. Yeah.
To agriculture.
We go from the cute and cuddly phase to the not so cute and cuddly phase.
You can cuddle with them at 290 pounds. It's probably against your will, I'm guessing.
And, well, other things.
He calls them all variable costs. That's bull. Not
very. I think you meant to say that's fertilizer, right? Staying on topic, Clint.
Listen now on all platforms.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Taking a look at the setup here, we've got a couple more dry days until we get into a major shift in air mass. So today, sunny, warm, and dry. Your Thursday looks great. Tomorrow, Friday, it looks great in most of the state. Now, we have to point out that Tropical Storm Nicole, or the remains of Tropical Storm Nicole, are going to be trying to push northward through the deep south and the southeast. If you are in east central and southeastern parts of the state, I think you feel the effects of this. Clouds and maybe a few scattered showers, a few hundredths to a quarter of an inch is all we're looking at, but Nicole is going to impact weather in parts of Indiana tomorrow. The rest of you will just see a mix of clouds and sunshine. Cold air, our cold front, comes through overnight Friday night into Saturday, and our weekend drops temperatures dramatically. We're likely going to be topping out only in the 30s for highs, and lows are going to be down in the teens and 20s. And that cold air mass is going to be here all of next week with a reinforcing shot coming later Wednesday and Thursday. That's going to bring some snow to places like Michigan, clouds to northern Indiana, but not a lot of precipitation at this point. So yes, we are partly sunny, cold and dry from late this weekend all the way through next week. And it looks to me like the cold air wants to hold into the week of Thanksgiving as well. So we're looking at a significant downturn in temperatures that's going to park here a while. So far through this fall season, we've been relatively warm. We had that cool snap in early to mid-October, ever so slightly. But this one's longer term. It's here to stay. And it's all getting kicked off with a massive winter storm that's going on right now in the northern plains and upper Midwest. If you just want to take a look up there, They're looking at anywhere from a foot of snow or more, heavy, wet snow, 20 to 40 mile an hour winds. That's the reason why this cold air is racing in here. It's got a lot of push behind it as cold air works out of Canada and the Arctic down to the south. That's a look at your forecast update. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Harvest means early mornings, late nights, and long days in the field. While you're out there each day until the last pass is made and the job is done, know that your friends at Farm Credit MidAmerica see your hard work and appreciate all of your long hours. We know that harvest is a busy season for you, but when you need a lender that can rise with you, give us a call at 800-444-FARM. This fall, we rise together. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit MidAmerica is an equal opportunity lender.
Have you ever considered a career in agriculture? There are dozens of agribusinesses that have opportunities to work in this exciting field. These are high-paying positions with on-the-job training and advancement. On December 15th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Grand Park in Westfield, Indiana, these companies will be on hand for the Indiana Ag Career Fair. Come talk with these organizations. Then walk the show floor of the Indiana Farm Equipment and Technology Expo and experience the world of agribusiness. December 15th at Grand Park in Westfield. More details at IndianaFarmExpo.com.
Corn and wheat finish lower after the USDA report. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, and this is Hoosier Ag Today's Wednesday Farm Market Review, brought to you by Seed Genetics Direct. Save $4 per unit of soybeans, $10 per unit of corn, and 11% more when you pay by November 10th. I'll have final numbers from Wednesday trade coming in just moments. First, let's head up north to Chicago. Tom Fritz is there with EFG Group. And Tom, WASD report released at noon Eastern time on Wednesday. And really, the way I'm looking at it, just before midday, before that report was released, wheat was the downside leader. Corn had lost a little bit. Soybeans were slightly in the green. We saw those numbers move around a little bit by the time the close came in. I'm going to assume that means no real big surprises in that WASD report.
Well, I think you're absolutely correct in that regard. Well, you know, at least the finished product, you know, we had some knee-jerk reactions, you know, when the numbers first came out because, you know, it's more times than not, it's based on expectations, not what the actual numbers signify. But, you know, if you're looking at, what transpired based on expectations, you know, corn production comes in a little bit higher than expected, but the carryout does not. And so, you know, what does that mean? Well, okay, production comes in, you know, a little bit higher than expected due to 0.4 of a bushel per acre increase in yield. But I think a lot of folks were thinking that the USDA would start hacking away at corn exports since we're so far behind the five-year average. Well, USDA left corn exports unchanged. In fact, they actually raised usage a little bit. Thank you very much increasing feed usage by 25 million bushels. So, you know, I think if the wheat market hadn't been down 20 cents or so, corn probably would have been unchanged. But from a technical standpoint, the corn market did challenge what I think is the low side of our, trading range that we've been in for now, 2 months? And the market managed to hold. So we'll see what that's like going forward. The wheat market, this is my opinion. Please underline this many, many times. I think the USDA is not being truthful with us. As far as the wheat numbers go, the USDA, they increased food usage a snappy 7 million bushels, lowered seed usage 2 million bushels. The end result was a carryout that comes in 5 million bushels less than expected. So, but let me preface this. This was not a production report on wheat, just supply demand. And so the wheat carryout, you know, people were thinking of a really small increase in carryout. Well, we actually got a 5 million bushel decrease in carryout, which to me is no big deal. Bottom line is our wheat exports, they're not the best, but going forward, we don't think they're going to be any good going forward because of, the amount of wheat that Russia has to sell. But for some reason, the USDA chose not to increase Russian wheat production. They've left it unchanged now for the last few months at 91 million tons. And as far as I'm concerned, everybody and their neighbor thinks the Russian wheat production is minimally 100 million tons. Now, the USDA did factor in some lower Argentine wheat production, offset that with some slightly higher Australian wheat production. So, you know, the bottom line is, you know, okay, the world wheat numbers, you know, they saw a little bit of an increase, but really nothing to write home about. So my axe to grind is, why is the wheat market 20 cents lower? Well, I think it's sooner or later the USDA is going to have to acknowledge the higher Russian wheat crop. And speculation. Now, this is speculation. What's going to happen with the Black Sea Safe Passage deal that's scheduled to expire come November 19th? Recent rhetoric, everybody and their neighbor that's involved is working real, real hard to get this Safe Passage deal extended for another year. Russia says, well, we don't know if we're going to join in on that. But, you know, the bottom line is, what can Russia do about it? Do you honestly think Russia is going to close down the Black Sea? You know, they're going to start bombing these grain cargo ships coming out of Ukraine? I don't think so. You know, the Russians have too much wheat to sell. They can't afford to have potential customers afraid to come into the Black Sea. So, you know, I'm not sure what Russia's going to do. You know, they're unhappy. They're saying we're getting the short end of the stick on this deal, you know, yada, yada, yada. They're still bombing the daylights out of Ukraine. So, you know, I'm not sure what's going to happen. But the bottom line is, I think the world wheat traders are looking at, you know, how much wheat is out there. And, you know, our markets respond accordingly. You know, and I think it's a known given that, you know, given the value of the dollar, U.S. wheat is really overpriced versus, you know, what's available out there in other export circles. So I think the wheat market here is just falling under its own weight. And then plus taking out the low we saw prior to the last knee-jerk reaction a week ago on this Black Sea deal. I think taking out that low in Chicago really, you know, accelerated the selling. So soybeans, I don't know what to tell you about soybeans. You know, the USDA, they didn't give us a lot of changes in the soybean world. They increased yield 0.4 bushel, increased production 33 million bushels, increased crush 10 million bushels, increased the residual 2 million bushels, wound up increasing carryout by 20 million bushels. The trade was only looking for a 12 million bushel increase. So, you know, okay, you know, the market breaks off the news, has that knee jerk right after the report, but we come marching right back. Why is that? Well, soybean oil is not going away. We're waiting to hear from the EPA as far as biodiesel mandates for 2023. They should come out sometime by the end of the month. And do you really want to take the soybean market lower when we're touting all these monster numbers coming out of South America and their growing season is barely getting underway? Last time I saw, Argentine soybean production or soybean planting has barely started. In Brazil, it's, what, maybe 60% planted right now? And yet the world meteorologists are saying, you know, the La Nina is still with us. But so far, it really hasn't impacted Brazil. It's had some impact for Argentina. So, you know, long story short, I just think the you can't, you know, put away this soybean market ahead of, you know, South American production. And that pretty much holds true for the corn market as well. You know, now granted, you know, the lion's share of corn from Brazil is their second season corn crop. We're just getting our first season crop planted. So, but, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I'd be surprised if we saw that much more downside follow through in the corn market. I think the soybean market's a broad trading range. And, you know, the if you're looking for a clear-cut direction over the next couple of months, I don't think you're going to see it unless the South American weather really turns foul. So in that regard, put your trading shoes on, fade the short-term extremes, you know, for short-term trading profits. That's, you know, to me, that's the best MO for trading.
December corn on Wednesday down 3, 664 and a half. March down 3 and a quarter, 670 and a half. January beans up 5 and a half, 1452. 1457 and a quarter on the March, up 4. December wheat down 21 and a quarter, 806 and a half. In livestock, December live cattle down a buck 47, 151.57. And December lean hogs down 30 cents, 85.27. I'm Eric Pfeiffer with the Wednesday Farm Market Review on Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.